The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Black British Bays We Love Right Now. Many British actors have made the leap across the pond into Hollywood, but audiences seem to be familiar with only a few names. And while we love Idris Elba, seriously, how could you not? There is plenty of UK talent working in Hollywood that we often overlook. Some who recently catapulted into the limelight, and others were ready to see more of our screens. Here's a list of familiar and not so familiar faces. Number one. Reggie Jean Page. Reggie Jean Page, who was born in Zimbabwe and moved to London when he was 14, currently stars in Shonda Rhimes' royal treat, Bridgerton, as the Duke of Hastings, Simon Bassett. Number two, Kingsley Ben-Adar. In 2020 alone, Kingsley Ben-Adar graced us with staggering performances in Soulmates, The Cummy Rule, High Fidelity, and One Night in Miami, where he stars as Malcolm X. Number three, Michael Ward. In Steve McQueen's small acts film, Lover's Rock, Michael Ward saves the day at a 1980s blues party, but many will recognize him from Top Boy, the UK's answer to The Wire. Number four, Nicholas Pinnock. Even though he was tapped by 50 Cent to play inmate-turned-prosecutor Aaron Wallace in ABC's For Life, Pinnock cut his teeth on British stages. He won rave reviews for outstanding performance in Ear for Eye at the Royal Court in London in 2018. Number five, Malachi Kirby. In the States, Malachi Kirby made a name for himself in the 2016 remake of Roots, where he starred as Kunta Kinte. Last month, he portrayed real-life British activist Dargis Howie, one of the Mangrove Nine, in Steve McQueen's retelling of the highly publicized case that arguably kicked off the civil rights movement in the United Kingdom. Number six, John Boyega. John Boyega broke Hollywood barriers from the moment he appeared as Finn in the last three Star Wars films. But it was the Nigerian Brit's fiery support of Black Lives Matter that forever cemented him as one of our global faves. Number seven, Delroy Lindo. Oh, you know, Delroy Lindo, the British-American Tony-nominated actor, has appeared in Crooklyn, Malcolm X, Gone in 60 Seconds, and appeared in Spike Lee's The Five Bloods. Number eight, Danielle Kaluuya. After blockbuster runs in Get Out, Black Panther, and Queen and Slim, Kaluuya makes a return to the big screen as Fred Hampton in the highly anticipated Judas and the Black Messiah. Number nine, Martins Amhengbe. In Rickerton, Martins Amhengbe stars as Will Mondrake, Reggae Jeans Page's sparring partner and confidant. His character, based on real-life boxer Bill Richard, told Shondaland.com, quote-unquote, I became obsessed with this man just thinking about the courage and tenacity it must have taken to achieve such a vision. On stage in London, has starred in Lion Boy, Absolute Hell, and Adventure, and most recently, The Death of a Salesman. Number 10, Arinze Kinney. Back in the UK, Arinze Kinney has been hailed as one of British theater's most exciting voices. He broke ground with his play Misty in 2018, and last year he starred alongside Wendell C. Pierce in an all-black revival of Death of a Salesman at the Young Vic in London. Recently, Kenny can be seen in I'm Your Woman on Amazon Prime Video. Number 11, Ricky Whittle. Whittle has us intrigued as Shadow on American Gods. The third season begins in 2021. Before the UK born, he has an English mother and Jamaican father. Actor appeared in the Stars series. He made American audiences swoon in Mistresses and became a fan favorite on the CW's The 100. Number 12, Michael O'Biara. Michael's snagged roles in Luther and cult fave Misfits. He also appeared on soaps like Casualty and EastEnders. Number 13, Richard Ayoade. The BAFTA winning comedian, writer, and actor made us laugh until we cried on the IT Crowd and starred opposite Ben Stiller and Jonah Hill in 2012's The Watch. Ayoade has a cult following in the U.S., but with such great comedic skill in writing, he's bound to receive a lot more attention soon. Number 14, Jacob Anderson. If you watched Game of Thrones, then you'll recognize Jacob as Grey Worm. But what you may not know is that the actor is an amazing rapper going by the name Raleigh Ritchie. His debut album, You're a Man Now, Boy, was released in 2016. And last May, his latest single, Aristocrats, is the lead single for the next album, Andy. 15. Lucien Lavisquant. The Scream Queens actor played Earl Grey, rest in peace, Earl Grey, we loved you, in the bloody horror comedy and appeared in everyone's favorite UK drama Skins. He recently starred in several episodes of the short-lived series Katie Keene. Number 16, Shewelty Ejiofor. Shewelty's list of roles and accomplishments is inviolable. 12 Years a Slave, Kinky Boots, The Martian, an Oscar nomination, 3 Golden Globe nominations, and a BAFTA win. And that's not even half of it. 17. Colin Salmon. The Brit's comedic skills have been put on display in Netflix's Master of None and the UK's coming-of-age comedy, Some Girls. He played Jared Sands in CBS show Limitless, and fans of Arrow will know him as Walter Steele. 18. Charles Venn. UK audiences might recognize him from a number of shows like Casualty and EastEnders. And while he has had roles in U.S. films like The Dark Knight and The Bourne Ultimatum, he's long overdue for meatier roles in the U.S. Number 19, Adrian Lester. Adrian is not only an amazing actor whose resume includes stellar theater work, he won a Best Actor Award from the Evening Standard Theater Awards for his work in Othello and played Ellis Carter in Girlfriends, Joan's love interest. He was also appointed Officer of the Order of the British Empire in 2013 for his service to drama. 20. Samuel Anderson. Samuel played Grother in the Royal National Theatre's The History Boys, which had a run on Broadway. He has appeared on Doctor Who and UK soap Casualty. 21. David Gyasi. If the English actor has a familiar face, it is because he appeared in Cloud Atlas, Interstellar, and starred in the CW miniseries Containment. 22. Jimmy Akinbola. Jimmy is another Arrow actor, having appeared on the show as Baron Reiter. And in 2008, he became the first black actor to play the role of Jimmy Porter in acclaimed playwright John Osborne's Look Back in Anger. His brother Sola also happens to be head percussionist for Jameer OK. 23. Adele Resume includes turns as Killer Croc in Suicide Squad and Dave Durson in Concussion. He's also set to voice Captain Vervain in the highly anticipated Watership Down miniseries. 24. David Oyelowo. British actor David, who is most known for portraying Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma, is turning 41 on April 1st. 25. Mr. Amin. Amin played in the first season of Netflix hit Sense8 and landed roles in Lee Daniels' The Butler, The Maze Runner, and Beyond the Lights. His first Hollywood film role was in Red Tails, the story of the African-American Tuskegee Airmen in World War II. 26. Ben Bailey Smith. The UK rapper and actor has made audiences laugh in the UK's Murder in Successville and the English version of Drunk History. He often appears under his stage name Doc Brown and has released some awesome studio albums, EPs, and singles. He also happens to be the brother of writer Zadie Smith. 27. Sopi Darisu. If you have seen this recent season of Black Mirror, you will recognize him from Nosedive. The actor plays Fred in the criminally underrated British-American show Humans. 28. Iman Walker. Fans of Chicago Fire and Chicago Beat and Chicago PD know Iman as Wallace Bowden, but the British actor is also known for his award-winning role on Oz as Kareem Zayed and his Broadway debut as Mark Anthony in Julius Caesar alongside Denzel Washington. 29. Arinze Kinney. You may know him from Our Girl, Youngers, and the horror comedy Crazy Head, but the British playwright's recent role in The Past really shows the actor's range. 30. Nathan Stewart Jarrett. Nathan caught everyone's attention in the massive UK hit show Misfits and later starred in the sci-fi drama Utopia. He also starred opposite Jude Law in Dome Hemingway. 31. Noel Clark. The London-born actor has appeared in Star Trek Into Darkness and has been awarded the Laurence Olivier Award for Most Promising Performer for his performance in the Royal Court Theatre's Where Do We Live and BAFTA's Orange Rising Star Award for Kidulthood and Adulthood. 32. Alfred Enoch. The Harry Potter alum currently plays Wes Gibbons on ABC's How to Get Away with Murder and has received 2 NAACP Image Award nominations for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series. The next article is titled Remember the Time. With the release of the first volume of his memoirs, Barack Obama talks to Essence about his historic, harrowing, and hopeful journey as America's first black president. When a young, charismatic Illinois state senator gave the keynote address at the 2004 Democratic National Convention, the nation's ideas about what a U.S. president could look like began to shift. But as Barack Obama recounts in A Promised Land, his historic 2 terms in office were hard fought. Here, he shares more about his 8 years in the White House. Essence asks the question, the enthusiasm during your first term in office was in large part created by the feverishly hopeful messaging of your campaign. In your recent memoir, you expound on the challenges that could have dampened that hope. How did you maintain your optimism when it seemed at times that the world was against you? Well, my name's Barack Hussein Obama, and I made it to the White House, so I have always been able to maintain a good sense of optimism. What I know is that Americans are fundamentally good and generous. I have read thousands of personal letters from them, and I have found that as long as I keep their stories in mind, I stay pretty centered. My time in the White House reminded me of something I've known about myself for years. I often felt the steadiest when things were going to hell. So setbacks like losing in New Hampshire in the primary, losing a Senate seat during the push for health care reform, or any of the many, many potholes we encountered didn't shake my faith in what was still possible. Essence asks another question. Reading your book and hearing about the nuanced thought that goes into quote-unquote high-stakes decision-making, one saying comes to mind. The devil is in the details. When did you find your rhythm when it came to problem solving? Obama replied, I was always aware of the weight of the job. Sometimes it was a little heavier, like when I first took office and hundreds of thousands of Americans were losing their jobs every month, or when I was making decisions about whether to send young men and women to war. When you are the president of the United States, no decision comes to your desk that's not 50-50 with real consequences on either side. But if you surround yourself with the right people, experts, scientists, people who believe in public service, and think government can do some good, at least you know those decisions can be made in good faith. As far as finding a rhythm to the job, it wasn't really until we were out of the woods on the economic crisis, and maybe not until my second term, that I really felt like I was in the zone and I'd found my game as president. I got a taste of what it might have felt like to be Michael Jordan in Game 7. My basketball game never quite gave me that feeling. The last question Essence asked was, why is it so important to tell your own story about your two terms as president? Obama replied, well, I've tried to provide an honest accounting of my time in office, everything from the key events to the political, economic, and cultural forces that shaped them. I have tried to be clear-eyed in my take on what I got right and the mistakes I made. And I have tried to give readers a sense of the personal journey that Michelle and I went through during those years with all the incredible highs and lows, even if my presidency didn't usher in a quote-unquote post-racial America. Something you never heard me or my staff say, by the way, maybe young people across the country saw themselves differently, their own possibilities expanded. And I hope they read this and see reasons to dive in, to be optimistic, and to believe they can make a difference, because they can, they really can. The next article is called Three Screen Kings. These actors, in vastly different roles, have one thing in common, our undivided attention. London native Kingsley Ben Adair's name has been on the tip of everyone's tongue this year, from his roles as Mac on High Fidelity to Barack Obama in the Comey Rule and Franklin on Soulmates. But it is his staggering portrayal of Malcolm X and director Regina King's One Night in Miami, available on Amazon Prime, that he continues to dissect to this day. I appreciated really having an opportunity to play someone as deeply complex and rich as Malcolm. He reflects, "It was the first time I had an opportunity to play a character with that much substance, that it's just a given, like it's all there." The actor refers to the fascinating narrative that grounded the minister and activist in February 1964 alongside three contemporaries, Sam Cooke, Jim Brown, and Cassius Clay. The actor refers to the fascinating narrative that grounded the minister and activist in February 1964 alongside three contemporaries, Sam Cooke, Jim Brown, and Cassius Clay, at a point when he was confronting some of his deepest fears and conflicts, his relationship with the Nation of Islam was ending and the FBI was stalking him. It was an incredible opportunity to investigate Malcolm at that time in his life in a way that I felt like we haven't seen him, Ben Adir says. The result is a rave, vulnerable portrait of the icon. I meditated on something that Malcolm said about how he felt in 1964. Ben Adir remembers. He said to Dick Gregory, "I felt weak. I felt hollow, and no one knows the torment that I went through. Wow, there's a kind of humanity that we can tap into here." Trevante Rhodes hadn't even seen a photo of Jimmy Fletcher, a black federal agent who led a sting operation beginning in 1939 against Billie Holiday, when he decided to play him in The United States versus Billie Holiday, arriving February 26 from Paramount Pictures. Some of his decision was made because of his faith in director Lee Daniels. But the other part was simple, a vibe. "I vibe on the era, I vibe on the culture," Rhodes says. Guided by a mere 3 pages of text featuring Fletcher's dialogue given to Rhodes by a friend, the actor delved into capturing the soul of a complex figure whose narrative includes a scandalous romantic affair with Billie Holiday, played by Andra Day, making her film debut. And Holiday has impacted the actor for as long as he can recall. "Billie, that soul is like my mom and my grandma," says Rhodes, who hails from Louisiana. Portraying the man who was hired by the then racist Federal Bureau of Narcotics to silence Holiday for her iconic civil rights song, Strange Fruit, certainly got Rhodes thinking about her role as her lover. But for the actor, that was part of what made Fletcher and Holiday's relationship so precious. "It's love," he says. "To some people, I know that hurts. That's love to me. It's complicated." Bridgerton, Shonda Land's buzzy new Netflix show, is one of the sexiest British cost dramedies you have ever seen. And much of that is because of Reggie Jean Page, debonair Duke of Hastings, Simon Bassett. Wow, some may clutch their pearls watching Simon and his love interest fornicate in the rain in their royal clothing. Page, who was born in Zimbabwe and raised in the UK, welcomed the tweak to a well-worn genre. "It is a story about romance," he says. And newsflash, one of the things that happens in romance is that sex and certainly desire is involved. We are unashamed about that. The role also allows Paige to subvert some of the things we typically see from British period narratives and most stories where men are not allowed to express their emotions. The actor was happy to explore Simon's internal conflict, which runs the gamut from feeling unwanted by his father to refusing to procreate. "What appealed to me was being able to explore what we historically have considered strength in men. This defensive close-offness that is often, in fact, damage, Page says, we get to subvert what is laudable about masculinity in the 21st century. Page, who has also starred in last month's Sylvie's Love, has already proven to be an intriguing new leading man. And to think that acting never even crossed his mind growing up. It was more of an accidental hobby, he says, unless you have someone in your circle who was a professional entertainer, you don't see a route into it. It's a big roll of the dice, unless you really want to do it. Reflecting on his journey, he adds, and I did. The next article is titled, Ciara Switched Up Her Look in 2020, and We Can't Get Enough. 2020 was a big year for Ciara. She gave birth to her third child, Wynn Wilson, released a new single with Esther Dean, and broke the internet with her Fault magazine cover shoot. In the midst of all her major moments, she managed to serve several hair looks in the process. The 35-year-old singer has always been open to changing up her hair. When she debuted in 2004, she had long honey blonde locks. Then she switched to black curls and waves for her sophomore album, The Evolution. She even embraced her natural hair in the form of a pixie cut for the video for Promise. Since then, we have seen the two-time Essence cover star with Afro puffs, a platinum blonde bob, jumbo box braids, and most recently, straight pink hair. What can't she do? When Allure asked Ciara about her favorite hairstyle in 2018, she said, I've had a bob length before, I've played before with a hairpiece, and had my hair really short like a boy cut, and that was really fun too. Run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.